This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Y'all ready to get into the Word? About 5, 6, 7 years ago, I got asked to do a graveside funeral service for someone I really didn't know. I knew a sibling of the fellow, and so she and her husband called and said, "Hey, do you mind coming and doing this for us? It'll just be a few of us at the graveyard." And so, okay, we'll do that. So I went, kind of just had some very basic things to say because I really didn't know the guy, so it's kind of hard to really craft a funeral service, right, for somebody you don't know. But I get there, and the sister hands me a piece of paper, and it's the obituary, and she said, "Do you mind reading this?" Okay. So I get going, and I start to read the obituary, and the more I read, the sadder I got. In a nutshell, this guy passed away in his 40s, and as I was reading, he didn't have any family outside of just siblings. He hopped around from job to job, so he never really found anything that worked for him, so he had a ton of different jobs, and it actually said that. And then, you know, like whenever you get to your passions, a lot of times you'll read an obituary like this person really loved this or was really passionate about this. It said that he really liked the game of Uno. Can we say that's a little sad, right? He did have a dog. He loved his dog and he loved Uno. I think we can all agree today that we want to live a life that matters. Amen. Come on, y'all. We want to live a life that matters. We don't want to live a life that doesn't matter. None of us want to do that. And a lot of people, they'll settle. But deep down, I think all of us want to know that we made a difference in the world whenever our final day comes and we take our last breath, right? We want to make a difference. And so, you know, whenever I'm at your funeral, whenever people are at my funeral, I think we all want people to say things like, you know, they blessed us. They were there for us. They made a difference in our life. They were there when nobody else was there, or they prayed for us and it made a difference. That's what we all want. Y'all, here's the thing. That's purpose right there. That's legacy right there. And I think that's what we all really want whenever we think about it. Now, today we're kicking off our series that we call You Belong Here. And for 3 weeks, somebody say 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at why God designed us to be connected to each other. We're going to talk about how life in a local church strengthens us and how spiritual growth thrives in a community and not in isolation. Now, I had you say 3 weeks just a second ago, and here's what I want to do as your pastor. I really want to encourage you to be here for how many weeks?
3 weeks.
Because I really think that if you're here, if you really hear what God says in His Word about the importance of us being together and in community and not in isolation, I think He's really going to move in your life and He's going to move in your family. So I'd like you to commit to be here for the next 3 weeks and just hear what the Lord's going to give us in this series. Amen? So I'd love for you to be here for that. Now, over the years, Regina and I, as pastors, we've seen people, not just individuals, but also couples who often try to live kind of that lone wolf type life. You know, they're very independent. They kind of like to do their own thing. They have that we don't need anybody else attitude or you know, we're Mr. and Mrs. Independent. But y'all, independence and isolation are two different things, right? They're two different things. I mean, independence is healthy. It's not a bad thing. It's handling responsibilities. It's being accountable. But then isolation is something completely different. I mean, it's a fast track to spiritual dryness that'll often take you to a really dark place. It happens. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about believers being connected together. Let's be clear, though. There's a big difference in being connected to believers and being around believers. Because a lot of us, we're around believers. I mean, we're in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Most people say that they're a Christian. And so if you're at work, if you're at school, if you're at the gym, if you're at the ball field, you're going to have people say, "Well, yeah, I'm a Christian," right? But there's a big difference in just being around people and then being connected to believers, right? One is proximity, but the other is purpose. The other is purpose. And the truth is this, is that we all need each other. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "I need you." Right? Not in a weird way, but I need you in my life, right? And here's the thing. I need y'all. I want y'all to understand this. And hopefully you feel like, "Pastor Gene, we kind of need you too," right? But I need y'all in my life. Have you ever noticed that Life happens sometimes and storms hit your life and it can get tough. Has anybody ever had a storm hit your life? Amen. You've been walking through a hard season together, or maybe you and your family, you've been going through a hard place. And you know, whenever those storms hit, a lot of times what we want to do is we want to retreat. Right. We kind of want to step back from everyone. Especially those lone wolf type people. They definitely want to kind of retreat. A lot of times we think to ourselves, you know, I just got to handle this on my own. Or I just really need some time away. I told her the first service, I had somebody one time that told me they were going through something. And they kept just saying, we've just got to work on ourselves. And we got to get ourselves right before we come back to church. They felt like retreating from church was the way to go through what they were battling. And Regina asked me, how'd that phone call go? I said, we'll never see him again. We've never seen him again. Because here's the thing, whenever we retreat, the enemy then goes to work on us, is what he does. He goes to work on us because isolation is the enemy's playground. And then he gets in our head and he starts telling us things, and we believe his lies. I know everybody in here is so spiritual they would never believe a lie of the enemy, right? A lot of times we'll fall for his lies. He'll say things like, listen, people don't care that you're gone. And if you show back up, they're going to wish that you never came back. See, he's going to say these types of things on a regular basis to us if we are in isolation. He's going to tell you, you're better doing life alone anyway. Why should you go back? Why should you be connected to other believers or to a church? And again, we've seen this happen. But it's during those hard times that we really need to be intentional about staying close to good, strong believers. Come on now. Like, we really need them in our lives during those times. And the Bible talks about isolation, and it says this in Proverbs 18:1. It says, he who isolates himself pursues selfish desires. Look at this. He rebels against all sound judgment. Sound judgment. Y'all, this isn't just truth. This is a warning for every one of us here. Let me tell you what isolation is. It's rebellion that's dressed up as, listen, I'm just doing me. I'm just doing my own thing. That's what it is. And again, the lone wolf types, a lot of times they have their statements, but for the reason that they're not connected to church, it's kind of their excuse. A lot of times it's things like, well, I have my own relationship with God. You know, only God would judge me. And then the whole thing of, well, I don't have to be in church to be a Christian. And let me just tell you something. You're not wrong. But you're not wise either. If that's what you say. You're not wise either. You need to be connected to other believers. And we're going to talk about that today. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at four truths today that Scripture gives us about connection. So are we ready to go? Amen. Number one is that you need more than God in your life. And some of y'all didn't like that at all. So before you get your pitchforks and your torches, just calm down just a second, okay? Let's talk about this. You also need oxygen and water in your life, now don't you? Yeah, you do. For salvation, God's all we need. He's everything. Can we all agree? Right? He's everything, and he's all we need for salvation. But God also said this. I mean, this is literally God's words in Genesis 2:18. He said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Speaking of Adam. It's not good for the man to be alone. So I'm going to give him a helper that's just right for him. The first half of that verse right there, it was God's observation of Adam. Now, I've used this verse in countless weddings. You've heard it whenever you've attended weddings as well. But this verse wasn't just about marriage. What this verse is about, the fact that God saw Adam and saw that Adam needed a helper. It was about the need that humans have for relationships. God looked at Adam and said, that poor old boy, he needs a friend. Like he needs a friend. And remember, God spent time with Adam. So Adam had God there, but God still saw that Adam needed someone else. So here's a thought, you know, if you're an introvert, if you say, listen, that's just me, I'm an introvert. If you're super private, I want you to know Scripture says that God made you. He made you with this need to have relationship. He created you to have relationship. It's a built-in need that every one of us have for connection. And that's just the way that God wired us all. Even if we don't agree with it, even if we think that we're better by ourselves, God disagrees based on Scripture. He disagrees. Adam didn't ask for a friend. God saw that Adam needed a friend, right? I mean, it was God's observation, and God knows what he's talking about. He saw it was needed. So this applies to all of us. Every one of us, we have this built-in need for connection, whether we want to admit it or whether we don't want to admit it, we still do. Our second thought today is this, is that God's okay with you needing others. God's okay with you needing others. In Exodus 3 and 4, Moses was being quite hard-headed. Has anybody else ever been hard-headed before whenever God's trying to speak to you? Come on, somebody, just get free today and just lift your hands, right? Moses was being extremely hard-headed. And he's using every excuse in the book of why he can't do what God called him to do. God said, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh in Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses just starts giving God all the reasons why he can. And so if you look in chapter 3 of Exodus, you've got a bush that's on fire, but it's not being burned up. But wait, there's more. The bush starts talking. How many of y'all that would get your attention, right? You know, the bush starts talking out in the middle of nowhere, and obviously it's the Lord speaking to Moses through this bush. As a matter of fact, the Lord said, Moses, you need to take your sandals off because you're standing on holy ground right now. But again, God says, Moses, this is what I want you to do. Go to Egypt. Talk to Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go. And Moses keeps telling God, listen, I can't do this. And God says, Moses, I'm going to be with you. You have nothing to worry about. And Moses said, I just can't do it. And God says, Moses, I am that I am. Whenever you look in Scripture, is going with you. Moses, listen, on this mission, you don't have to worry about anything. As a matter of fact, I'm going to lead you by a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. Moses, on this mission, I want you to know that if y'all need food, it will just miraculously come down from heaven. If you need water, Moses, it can come out of a rock. Moses, whatever you need, I'm going to take care of you. You don't have anything to worry about, but Moses just kept coming up with excuses. Surely that's nobody else in here. Y'all have never had excuses, right? I had an exhaustive list of why I could never do what I'm doing this morning, and God was not impressed with my list, just so you know. But we've all had the list before of why we can't do what God's called us to do. But God says, Moses, you don't have anything to worry about. And then I love this. In an effort to show Moses, you don't need to fear, God tells him to do a few things. First thing is this, take your staff, Moses, and throw it on the ground. Moses throws it on the ground and it turns to a snake. Can we just stop right there for a minute? If somebody's telling me don't be scared, but then a snake shows up, they are not helping the don't be scared point. They're not supporting that point. Can somebody say amen to that, right? You throw a snake down, Gino's out, I will make a door, right? I mean, I'm going through something to get away from the snake, but God said, Moses, throw your staff down, turns to a snake, pick it up. That also took guts right there. No, I'm good. I don't need that staff anymore, right? It can just slither on away. Moses, pick up the staff. He picked it up, or the snake, it turned to a staff. Moses, put your hand in your cloak. Pull it out. Hands full of leprosy. Now put it back in. Now pull it out. Scripture says that his hand looked like a newborn's, like just perfect skin. Moses, go draw some water out of the Nile River. Pour it out. The water had turned to blood. So God's just showing Moses, you have nothing to worry about, but hard-headed Moses just didn't want to hear it, right? He kept coming up with excuses, and I think we've all done this at times, and Moses finally throws his last card and says, but God, I can't speak well. What you're calling me to do requires speaking, and I stutter. And God was still not impressed. Whatever excuses you've had for the reason that you can't do something significant for your family, for your work, for your church, for God, can I just say this? God doesn't care about your excuses in the same way that he didn't care about Moses' excuses. Amen? I'm just going to shoot you straight. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. I also want to share with you today that if he's called you to do something, he will equip you to be able to do it. Amen? He will equip you to do it. He's not going to call you to do something and then you fall right flat on your face. That's not the way our God works. He loves you. The reason that he's called you is because he knows that you can do it and you're the right person to do it. So whenever he says do it and you say, yes, Lord, then he's going to give you whatever it needs for you to be able to do it. For you to be able to do it. Thank God that he did that for me. But whenever Moses said, I can't talk, I stutter, then the Lord just goes ahead and he addresses him. And he says this in verse 11 of chapter 4. He says, Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear, do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, Moses, go. I'm sure the Lord, you know, was kind of like a little forceful. Go by this time. Moses, I'll be with you as you speak and I'll instruct you in what to say. But then in verse 13, we see that Moses was still having trouble. And he says this, he says, pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and he said, what about your brother, Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you and he'll be glad to see you. Verse 15, you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth and I will help the both of you speak and will teach you what to do. So God was saying, Moses, I'm going to speak to you. You share it with your brother and then he can do the communicating for you. Now, here's something I want us to think about today. Who was it that God wanted to go see Pharaoh? Moses. God wanted Moses to go see Pharaoh. But can I just tell you this? God was okay with Moses having somebody else do it with him. He was okay with Moses having someone else with him. He knows that we need people by our side. He puts people in our lives for a reason. And the truth is that we really need others in our lives. Amen. Say whatever you want to say, but no, I don't need it. No, you do need others in your life, okay? I'm just going ahead and telling you. We all need good friends because they make us stronger. A lot of times people will actually, friends in our lives will actually confirm what the Lord has spoke to us from time to time. There's been some of us that we've felt the Lord speak something to us, but we didn't move on it. But then all of a sudden, someone else maybe in our life, like a friend or maybe a family member or something, they speak the same thing to us and we're like, holy moly. I mean, it just completely wakes you up. You can't believe that they said that. And what it is it's just confirmation of what God had already spoken to you. God uses others in your life to confirm what he's trying to say to you as well. Again, we need others in our lives. Good friends who are strong believers, I love them because they stick with you in the good times and the bad times. You know, you might have coworkers that whenever things get rough, they just kind of back off. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Whenever you got strong believers in your life, that's not the way that they are, and we need those kind of people. Let me just brag on this church. The people you see here, the people you maybe didn't get to see in the first service, these people around here, these are good people. People that want to walk with you through your stuff, right? People that want to encourage you, that want to laugh with you in the good times. They're going to cry with you in the bad times. They're going to be right there with you. They want to support you and listen to you. That's what you find in good believers. Y'all are the same people that are sitting around you right now. These are the ones you want to be connected with. In Proverbs 27, we see multiple verses about friendship. The Lord just kind of used Proverbs 27 to just put some great verses in there. Like, for instance, one of them is, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. I love that verse, the heartfelt counsel of a friend. What I love about good, strong believers in my life is that whenever you've got those people in your life, there's a concern for each other. Like, I want the best for you, you want the best for me. It's just what happens whenever you have these kind of relationships. And there's times whenever we need to just be able to go to those people and just be able to seek counsel. The word talks about that also in Proverbs, about there's wisdom in the counsel of many, amen? And so we need those people in our lives and the heartfelt counsel. Don't you love it whenever you just have strong friends that they can just speak into your life and they do it in a loving manner, right? They do it in a loving manner. And then also, like, the folks around you, they're here also to inspire you, but also challenge you as well. Verse 6 of chapter 27 says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. from a sincere friend, from someone who truly cares about you, who wants the best for you. There are times whenever we need people to get real with us. We don't just need cheerleaders in our lives. You know, there are some people that you'll be like, I feel like this is what I'm going to do. And they'll be like, you should do it. And it's the dumbest thing you could ever do. Some people would just cheer you on and cheer you on and making a bad decision. You need good people in your life that care for you. That'll be like, you are missing God on that, Jack, right? I mean, people that'll just be honest with you. But because there's been a lot of people that have made some bad decisions that have really affected them and their families because somebody has not had the guts to really get honest with them and get truthful with them. I've got pastors in my life that are overseers, you know, to me, and I go to them from time to time, and I let them speak into my life. As a matter of fact, one of them kind of called me out a little while back, said, I'm concerned about this in your life. And I'm glad that he loves me enough that he's willing to have a hard conversation with me. And can I go ahead and just tell you something? Let's get real just for a minute. If somebody maybe in church leadership or a friend that you love who you really trust, just a strong believer, if they come to you with a concern and it makes for an awkward conversation and you're like, this does not feel comfortable right now, can I just tell you, you need to listen. Because do you think they enjoy that moment? No. These hard kind of talks that sometimes I have to have with people are not fun. It's the worst part of the job. Can I just say that? They're never fun. Nobody says, oh, I really want to go have this hard talk with somebody. It's absolutely going to be so hard. Nobody wants to do that. Can we all agree, right? And so there are going to be people in your life that love you so much, and they're like, listen, we need to talk about this. I'm concerned about you. You need to tune in at that point, amen? But you don't just need cheerleaders. You need challengers as well. People who will call out your gifts. I mean, if you know that God's given you this gift, you need to be using it, they're the ones who are like, come on now, you need to step on up. You need to use what God's given you here. You need people that'll challenge you, that'll also, call out your gifts, but call out your weirdness too. Now, I know nobody's ever been guilty of getting weird in this house, right? I'm the only one probably, right? We can get weird from time to time. There's times whenever we're not thinking clearly. And we need people that'll just get honest with us. So we need people that'll call us out whenever maybe we're headed in the wrong direction. So we need others. Number three, the horizontal connection we have with other believers strengthens the vertical connection we have with God. It strengthens the vertical connection we have with God. I want you to hear me today. You grow spiritually whenever you do life with other believers. Period. You grow spiritually whenever you do life with other believers. You're not going to grow spiritually whenever you're doing it all alone. You're just not going to. You can look at the apostles in the New Testament. They were tight. You can look at Paul and his need for friends in really hard times, right? Because they were living in some hard times whenever Christians were really being persecuted. They stuck together. They accomplished God's plan for their life. They built each other up. Paul needed those people. We need those people so that we can continue to just grow stronger in our faith. Again, Proverbs 27, verse 17. You've seen this verse before. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We make each other sharper. We make each other stronger. And walking through, again, a rough season stinks whenever you're doing it by yourself, but it's so much better whenever you're doing it as a team, amen? Whenever you're going through it together. So much easier than doing it alone. Our last thought for today is this, is that Jesus also needed others. Jesus also needed others. We need to let that sink in just for a minute. If we go to Matthew 26, let's check out what happened. This is shortly before the crucifixion. It says, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus knew what was coming, and so he takes three friends, his inner circle, as I call them, Peter, James, and John. Now, let's just pause for a minute and think about something. If anyone could have ever been a loner and had good excuses to be a loner, I think Jesus would be the person. Let's just think about his excuses. Sometimes we have excuses, but let's think about Jesus' excuses. We could have, again, Jesus the Son talking to God the Father. God, whew, it's as if these people are not on my level. God, it's as if they don't understand anything I'm saying. I mean, can you just imagine Jesus' excuses, because he's truly the Son of God, and he's got, you know, people around him that are just humans, that are goofballs. I mean, he could tell the Father that it's like they don't understand, again, anything that I'm saying. He had all the excuses in the world to just live a life all to himself, but that's not what he chose to do. He chose to surround himself with others, amen, with those who were close to him, and ultimately they turned the world upside down. It's what they did. And so let me just say this. If Jesus needed others, who are we to say that we don't? If Jesus chose not to be isolated, why would we ever choose to isolate ourselves? A lot of people prefer to keep others at a distance. I know a lot of people just do. But again, that's whenever the enemy goes to work. Whenever you're in isolation, he starts talking to you. He starts telling you telling you different lies. And again, too many times people fall for these lies. Whenever he's saying, you know what you need better than they know what you need. He's telling you, you know, those folks don't even care about you. Listen, the enemy's always going to tell us these kind of things. And we've got to be able to recognize his voice from the Lord's voice. Amen. But too many people, they try to just keep people at a distance. But I want you to hear the truth of the reason he tries to isolate you. Because as soon as he isolates you, is your spiritual health is going to start to decline. It's going to start to decline. Now you can say, but Pastor Gene, I can listen to podcasts. Hear me, it's not the same as being connected to a body of believers. Amen? So what's going to happen is your spiritual health is going to begin to decline. But in addition to that, you're not going to accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. You're just not going to. But something that we all need to understand today is this, is that every one of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, who call ourselves believers, every one of us have an assignment that we were given. Right. Let's talk about it. We can go to Matthew 28. It was shortly before Jesus ascended. He's talking to his disciples, and he says this. He says, boys, you need to go, and you need to make disciples. In the same way that I've discipled you, you need to go do the same thing with others. Basically, bring people into the kingdom of God and disciple them. Every one of us have been called to do that. And so whenever we get to that place of isolation, besides our spiritual health declining, here's the thing. We're not accomplishing anything for the kingdom of God, and we're not being obedient to that commission that we've all received. Yeah. Today, whenever you walked in, you saw people that were smiling. Maybe you checked your kids in with some teachers who were happy to be with your kids this morning. Earlier, you had a worship team that's just phenomenal who were helping to just prop open the door so that the Lord could work in this place today. Amen? You see, it's whenever we're connected to a body of believers that, again, we can use our gifts and we can use our talents to see people come to know Jesus, to see people discipled, and it's doing our part as the body of Christ that Paul talks about in the New Testament. We do our thing, we do our part, and as a result, we see lives changed. It's what we've all been called to do, y'all. But you can't do it whenever you're in isolation. You just can't do it whenever you're in isolation. But let's get back to Jesus, back in the garden. He knows what's ahead of him. He knows that he's about to be arrested. He knows he's about to be beaten. He knows that he's about to be nailed to a cross. But the Son of God, the Messiah, the miracle worker, he also knows that he needs friends with him at that moment. He needed people around him. In verse 38, he said, my soul is crushed. And he tells Peter, James, and John, guys, stay here with me. Whenever he was facing the hardest hours of his life coming up, he needed their presence. And sometimes We just need someone to sit with us whenever we're in pain, don't we? I shared earlier, my spiritual grandpa, years ago, his daughter took her own life in their home. It was a very hard thing for them to walk through. And I remember him saying that for weeks, literal weeks, people just came to their home and just spent the night with them, and they were just there. This guy's a pastor. He pastored a church for 35 years. He didn't necessarily need them to speak certain words to make everything better. He just needed people around him, the people he loved. And that's who showed up, the people that loved him, the people that he had loved on. And they were literally there for weeks while they walked through the hardest season of their life. Y'all, there's times where we just need people around us because we're going through things and we feel like we don't know if we're going to come through this. But no, you got people around you. They're saying, no, come on, we're going to get through this. You will come through this. This won't be the end of you. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you just need people to just encourage you that, no, you're going to get through this. Amen. You're going to get through this. We can look in Scripture. Hebrews talks about the fact that it's very important for us to be connected, that we not forsake the gathering together, the assembling together. It talks about also how we need to encourage each other. You know, whenever you're around strong believers, they encourage you. There's so much discouragement in the world, right? There's so much negative stuff out there. We need people to build us up. We need people to do life with, people to encourage us, people literally to laugh with us. Come on, y'all. People, of course, that are there during the hard times, but we need them. I want you to hear me. The word says to do this church thing together. Again, Hebrews 10, it says to not forsake gathering together. And some of you, you've maybe been in a hard season. You felt like you've been doing it all alone. Maybe just you and your spouse, or maybe you're single and you just feel like you've been doing this thing all on your own. Galatians 6:2 says this. It says, bear one another's burdens. We need to bear each other's burdens. We can also go to 1 Peter where it says, cast your burdens on him, for he cares for you. But hear me today. If you're not connected with people, how can others help bear your burdens? You see, that life of isolation that you take, you're toting it all yourself. But that was never God's plan, and that's why connection matters. I want you to hear me today. This church is full of people who want to see the best for you. Maybe you're kind of new here. Maybe this is your first time. This church is full of people who want to see you blessed. They want to see God move in your life. They want to see you walk in with a smile on your face every week, living a life of purpose. You'd be surprised how having just believers that are full of faith in your life make a difference. Come on, church family. Can we agree? I mean, it makes a difference. Amen. It makes a huge difference. They'll pray you through things. They'll love you through things. They'll be real with you, though. It's such a great thing. But it's healthy that we have other believers to do life with. Now, maybe you're here and you've got a story from the past. Maybe you've been hurt in church. And I know that's a real thing. It's a real thing. Maybe you were somewhere and something happened and you were hurt. Somebody told your business. I don't know what it is. But let me say this, if you were hurt by a church, first of all, I'm so sorry. So sorry. But I also want to say this to you, you were not hurt by the church. You were hurt by a church. By a church. Now, I've used this example multiple times before. Every one of us, we eat out from time to time, and every one of us have probably eaten something out and it made us sick. Y'all ever dealt with that before, right? Now, whenever you ate out and something made you sick, did you swear off ever eating out again and say, I'm never going to another restaurant again? Has anybody ever done that before? I don't know. I mean, maybe you just said, I won't go back to this place, but you never said, I'm never, ever, ever going to eat out again. Has anybody ever done that? No. Why? We like chips and salsa too much. That's why, right? We like tacos and everything else. Hear me today. There have been a lot of people that have said, I was hurt in church and I'm never going back. But again, our restaurant example, don't give his church, hear me, don't give it less respect than you would give a restaurant. Just because you were hurt, it doesn't mean that you're going to be hurt down the road. Can I also say this? He's very concerned about what you walked through as well. He's very concerned. Yesterday, I was actually just doing my reading in the mornings. I was in the living room, and I was in Jeremiah, and I was in chapter 23, and I read it, and I shouted out to Regina. I said, listen to this, because she knew what I was talking about today. I said, listen to this, hon. And in a nutshell, I just kind of want to summarize it for you. But Jeremiah 23 starts out, it basically says, sorrow awaits the shepherds who have hurt the flock and caused them to scatter. And for me as a pastor, I'm like taking a big gulp, like, oh Lord, you know, those are strong words. But if you go on a few verses in what's being written there through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord says this, he says, but I'm going to bring my sheep back. Hear me. And it says they're going to be fruitful and they're going to increase. And it goes on to also say that I'll give them another shepherd. But the key, what we want to pull from this, the Lord goes on to say, and those sheep that come back, they're not going to fear any longer. They're going to be cared for and they're going to be fed. And I just thought, hey, and what came to mind was, is the ones that have felt like, man, we've been burnt in church before and we've been hurt. Hear me today, the Lord wants you to come back. He wants to see you cared for. He wants to see you fed. He wants to see you grow. He wants to see your family stronger. He wants to see you blessed, spirit, soul, and body, in all aspects of your life. The Lord cares about whatever it is that you walk through, and hear me, and he wants to heal you from what you walk through as well. He wants to heal you as well. Again, being connected to a healthy church, it's so important, and I got to be honest with you, if you're not, you're really missing out. You'll never experience what so many people here experience whenever you're disconnected. We got to spend some time with a new couple in our church last night, and they made this statement to us, and I wanted to be like, can you please record that for me, right? But they said, they hooked up with church in August, and they said, God has been doing so many things in our life at such a rapid pace, it's blowing our mind. And they had been out of church for a while. I'm telling you, being connected to a body of believers, it's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer, and you won't experience it disconnected. So hear me, there's a greater life for you in healthy relationships, and you can find that here. Now, at the very beginning of my teaching, I started talking about how I think we all want to live a life that matters. Amen. I think we want to live a life that matters. And again, I want you to hear me today. It's vital to be connected with other believers. And I also want you to hear me say this, that you'll never walk in your purpose. You'll never live that life that matters. You'll never walk in your purpose that God has for you without connection to a local church. It's just the way it is. It's scriptural. It's part of God's design for you. But today you may be here and you're just a person doing life alone. Let me just say this to you. There's purpose in your presence here today. There's power in your connection. And I think Church Alive, all of us would agree that we would love to just do life with you. We'd love to do life with you. So if you ever felt like, you know, you didn't have a place where you fit in, if you ever felt like you just didn't belong somewhere, if you ever felt like church wasn't for you, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, you belong here, amen. We think that you belong here at church. Can we all agree they belong here? Amen. You're not here by accident. Hear me. You're not here by accident, by mistake. You're here by divine appointment today. By divine appointment. Come on, stand with me. Stand with me. Can we just bow our head, just close our eyes for a minute? I want you to understand today that God has bigger plans for you. For every one of you here. He has bigger plans for you. He wants to see you blessed in all aspects of your life, your family. He wants your marriage blessed. He wants your health. I mean, just every area of your life, God wants to bless you. He wants you waking up in the morning excited to be alive. He wants you waking up in the morning with a purpose. He wants to use you to see other lives changed as well. And again, as I said earlier, if you've been hurt, he also wants to see you healed. He's very concerned. He wants to see you healed. we can look at the life of Jesus. In fact, we've recently done 6 weeks on the life of Jesus, and I think we can all agree that he was all in for us. And today, I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, there are some of y'all here today that it's time for us to take a step and show him that, God, we're all in for you today. So, Father, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness in our life, for your word. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we have strong believers that are around us. God, you see us and you see that we don't do well whenever we're isolated. And so, God, your plan was for, again, us to get others around us that can push us, that can encourage us, God. Lord, again, that can be honest with us as well. So, Lord, we thank you for just the relationships. God, I want to say thank you for Church Alive. This church is such a blessing just for Regina and I. Lord, I know that we've heard so many testimonies about how it's been a blessing to others as well. Lord, thank you for what you're doing here. You're so good, God. You're so good, God. Lord, we just love you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. Can somebody say amen today? Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amason. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.